All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. What's up? David, can we just start with an apology?
Yeah.
I forgot to do something critically important.
Oh, no. What is this?
I came home from work the other day, and there was an angry man in my driveway. pacing.
Oh, no.
Back and forth. I could see the steam coming out of his eyes. It was none other than the Mystery Gobble himself.
Looking for his tickets. Where are they?
Here's the thing. I thought that when I gave away tickets, that my people would automatically send him tickets. And then I remembered, I don't have people. And even if I did, they sure wouldn't know that at the end of the podcast, he said this, and that Scott got some tickets, and where the hell Scott lives down in Pigeon Hollow.
Oh, man, Mystery Gobble was hunting you down.
Yeah, he was hot and bothered.
How many hours had he been waiting for you in your driveway?
Well, I had been out of town for a couple of days.
Oh.
So it was the weekend.
The whole weekend.
Yeah, and he spent camped out.
Wow. That's dedication.
Well, what was great was his wife was super supportive. She kept bringing him food, you know, all this kind of stuff so that he could stay vigilant.
She was just happy to have him out of the house for a little bit.
Yeah, that's probably.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, man. You want to know a funny story? I was over at the Mystery Gobble's house recently.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to shift from an untrue story to a true story.
That wasn't true?
We're in Scott's house, all sitting around the campfire, minding our business, having a good time, having a nice socially distant evening together. There's about eight of us. And something fell out of the campfire, so I sort of stood up out of my chair and reached down and picked it up and chucked it back in the fire. And then when I sat back down in my chair, I sat the whole way through. I broke the entire chair, the whole thing, put my ass right through the seat. It was awful. I was so embarrassed. Everybody was super nice about it. Nobody like made fun of me or anything like that. But I was still like, oh man.
I wish
there's no graceful way to break a chair.
I wish at least one person would have been like, how's all that quarantine time going for you?
The quarantine 15 is real. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Oh man. Shit. That's good stuff. Hey, I don't want to bring you down. But I think we need to start this episode a little somber.
My friend hit the nail on the head perfectly. Mark said to me, I saw him yesterday or whatever.
Yeah.
And he said, well, I guess we should throw a glass of whiskey out. Isn't that what you do? Like when a good Irishman dies, like you pour a shot into the street, I think is the tradition. Like, yeah, Sean Connery.
Yeah. Sir Sean Connery passed away here in his 80s this week. An icon for the ages, I'm sure. I mean,
now wait a minute. Let's back up just a second. Yeah. You said he was in his 80s.
Yeah, wasn't he?
The guy was born in 1930. So now I'm saying he might have died before his 90th birthday. So technically, maybe he's still in his 80s. But I'm just saying, if I die and I'm 89 and a half years old.
He was 90. I'm sorry.
Listen, when I die. If I die when I'm 89 and a half years old, that's going to make you like 50, right?
23.
So I don't want you to let anybody say Penn died in his 80s. Even if like technically it's true, I want you to tell people he died when he was 90. You round up.
I would have started off the eulogy, well, he almost made it. 90 was right around the corner, but the dude just couldn't hold out.
Poor bastard.
He had one goal.
We've talked about that on the show before, right? The avid indoorsman bit.
Maybe. Say it again.
Well, I went to this guy's funeral one time, and I took great offense because the person speaking at the eulogy said the person offered up as evidence that the nearly recently departed was a good person, the evidence of this person being good was the fact that he was an avid outdoorsman. So I thought that was a bunch of malarkey.
That makes us inherently evil.
Right. So I've been telling all my friends, and now I can share with you and our listener, that when I go, I want somebody to stand up and offer as evidence of me being a good guy that I was an avid indoorsman.
He didn't dare expose the world to himself.
Right. I like the air conditioning. I like carpets. I like mattresses. I like cable TV. I like refrigerators. He was a good guy. He was an avid indoorsman.
I love it.
All right, so we got a little bit off track, but Sean Connery passed away. We were all very sorry to hear that. Obviously, he lived apparently a rich and fulfilling life and a legendary icon. Will forever be remembered as James Bond. I don't want to put you on the spot and quiz you, but I'll offer up, other than James Bond, I thought he was amazing in The Rock.
Oh, yeah. Which, I think we talked about this before, was originally meant to be a James Bond movie.
And really?
They couldn't get the license, so they never mention it. They just say that he's an MI6, an old MI6 agent, and I don't think they ever give him a name in the movie.
I never clued into that.
And he's supposed to be James Bond, yeah, in that movie.
All right, that's cool.
It's really cool when you look at it that way.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a great movie, period. And then when you add that element to it, it just takes it to a whole nother level. Yeah, that's super cool.
And, of course, Indiana Jones' dad.
Yep. We're celebrating Sean Connery's life at Penn Cinema by playing Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nice.
Which he was not in, but you know.
It's about the same, you know?
The rest of the world is going to be playing The Last Crusade. And
Hunt for Red October.
Stupid Penn Cinema's got Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, hey, we tried. We got close.
almost there.
Right. That's a classic Penn Cinema move right there. Play a franchise that The Departed was remotely like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon related to.
I love it.
All right. Speaking of big news, we had some big news. As we sit here and talk on Sunday afternoon, we are, we have the second weekend. Do you remember last week we talked about this movie After We Collided?
Yeah.
This crazy movie that hardly anybody heard of, and yet somebody heard of it because it was by far and away last weekend. It was not just the number one movie. It was like rocket.
Whoa.
It was crazy. And so naturally, I think we've talked about it on the show, but I'm going to remind everybody in case there's some listeners, because I don't think we've talked about it in a while. But one of the key things that we – so we book movies every Monday. And obviously the top two or three movies you automatically book another week and that kind of thing. And then you look at what your mix is. So you always want to have a kids movie. Even if there's a kids movie that's sort of not doing well, you keep it anyway just because you always want to have, you know, a variety to choose from, especially for families. But in the middle there, the way that we judge – and I say we, meaning people who are buying movies, people who are like myself who are booking movies, but also on the distributor side, they'll say, hey, my movie dropped 12%. That's pretty good. That's like a pretty low drop. So that sort of says like, hey, my movie, the expression that they use is my movie has legs, which means it's going to, you know, it's going to keep carrying on. So a good drop from your first week to your second week, like a healthy drop, that's something that's regularly measured every week. Every Monday we sort of look at that and we talk about it, and it's an important statistic. It's an important fact in the movie business, in the exhibition industry. So a really good movie that everybody loves and is going to really have legs would drop, like, let's say 20%. That's like excellent. A normal drop would be like 35%. Like, you can pretty much regularly say, like, okay, if it made $1,000 this weekend, next weekend it's going to make $650, you know, and then the third week, you know, it's going to drop another 50%. So you would say, oh, it'll probably make $325. So you sort of go through that math every week. So a really good drop would be like 20%. Typical is like 35%. And then like a little bit of a iffy movie might drop 50% or even 55% would be, you know, like, oh, that's a bad sign. Mm. All right. So we up to speed? You follow?
I'm following.
Everybody has the perspective to appreciate what I'm about to share. This movie, After We Collided,
yeah,
has set a brand new Penn Cinema record.
Oh, boy. The good kind of record?
I wouldn't use the word good.
Drastic?
Definitely drastic. Definitely dramatic. Definitely not good. The drop from the first week of After We Collided. Now I'm going to use a little more. I'm going to interrupt myself to share with you a little more industry jargon.
Okay.
Nobody in the industry calls it the second week. They call it the sophomore frame. That way we know who has their pinkies out and who's hoity-toity, you know.
That's, they don't call it the freshman 15. When you start the next year, it's called the sophomore frame.
Right, right. Yeah. Called the sophomore frame. So this movie, After We Collided,
yeah.
From its first week to its sophomore frame. Now I said a good movie with 20%, bad movie like 50%, maybe even 55%. This movie, After We Collided, dropped from its first week to its sophomore frame, it dropped 90%. It went, and I'm not exaggerating even a little bit, it went from being the runaway number one movie to being outside the top 10 at Penn Cinema.
Oh my gosh! So what does that mean? Does that mean that people thought it was going to be good, they all came out, and it wasn't? Or that,
you know, we heard good things about it in the lobby on the way out. People were coming out happy. So what it tells me, now you also remember that this movie is available at home.
Oh, okay. Right? All right.
Which last weekend was a really, I think that's why we talked about it, because it was really interesting. Our runaway number one hit movie, people wanted to come out and see it in a movie theater.
Right.
So I think what this dramatic drop tells me is that this movie plays to a very limited, specific audience, all of whom came out to see it on opening weekend.
Okay.
I mean, that's the lesson that I took away from it. Like, it has a specific audience, and every single one of them came to see it on opening weekend.
Now, I got a question for you. This is a little tangent.
All right.
Here, right? Because you talked about, you know, we're talking about people, options of being at home and coming to the theater. In the summer, whenever it rained and stuff, you're like, it was perfect weather,
right,
for a movie.
Yeah.
Now we're getting into the fall,
right,
and the winter. Do you find that this weather is conducive of people coming in, or are people getting like comfortable and cozy at home?
No, it's conducive to people coming out, okay, to see the movies. We were dramatically helped by the cold, rainy weather on, I forget what day it was, Friday. Yesterday was kind of a nice day, although it was a little bit windy, but no, it definitely the only caveat I would say is that with it being in the fall, on a weekday, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
So in the summertime, we're looking at all 7 days, we want rain. In the fall, we really only care about Friday afternoon and Saturday, and maybe a little bit Sunday afternoon. Like, today's a good day, a good example. It's like a little gray and a little rainy and kind of gross, but it's a good movie day. It'll definitely help our numbers today.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you know what else is awesome?
I hope it has something to do with Shanghai.
Well, the filming and I noticed I put the filling of Shanghai, Shang-Chi, and The Legend of the Ten Rings, which is one of the upcoming Marvel films, has wrapped. So they actually got a movie done.
Wow.
With everything that's going on. So not only has that wrapped, but Marvel / Disney has come out looking for a writer for a new Blade movie. A reboot, a way to bring Blade into the Marvel universe. I don't know if necessarily it'll definitely be a movie, but, you know, they want to bring Blade back. How do you feel about that?
I'm so, like, conflicted because, like, all right. I mean, I'll try to be positive about it, and all right.
Do you think a Blade... No, he had three movies.
No.
You don't think he's a character with legs, as you would say?
No. Right. No. As we say in the industry, I think he had his chance at a sophomore frame, and he lost it. But with that being said, I'm struggling a little bit to come up with a specific example, but I definitely feel like there have been remakes that were totally unnecessary and things that I was not excited for, but actually turned out to be good. So therefore, I'm going to keep an open mind. Plus, you have the added thing of, like, I mean, it's Marvel.
Yeah.
If anybody can get it right, it's Marvel.
I'd be curious to see how Marvel does a Blade movie. Because, right. I mean, just like Deadpool, he's not PG-13 generally.
Right.
So, I don't know. Right. I think that's interesting news. I really do.
Okay. I think both pieces of that headline are interesting. First of all, I'm thrilled to hear that they wrapped filming, mm-hmm. so that the production line for new movies is, apparently, still in process. And also, I agree, it's interesting. It would be really interesting to find out who they get for the new Blade reboot.
Right.
Where it says they're looking for writers. So it'd be really interesting who they get. What if they got somebody like M. Night?
Oh. He's been doing the Spookums pretty good lately. So I could see that working out.
Yeah. And I'm drawing a blank. Remember that book I was talking about? The best movies of night, the best movie year ever. And it's a book all about the movies that were in 1999.
Yeah. Yeah.
It turns out that M. Night was involved in, like, writing some scripts behind the scenes. I'm drawing a blank on which one it was, but there's, like, a really famous movie that he, like, punched up the script to, and he's not commonly credited with writing the movie, but he's a talented writer and, not to mention director. Mm.
That'd be interesting.
So, yeah.
All right, what do you got? Can you hit me with something?
Mr. Goldberg, Adam Goldberg, has revealed on everybody's favorite news source, Twitter... Everybody's favorite and most reliable news source, Twitter, that he is pitching a Goonies sequel to Richard Donner. It'll be interesting to see, what are we talking about? Are we talking about, like, a Goonies sequel where all the same characters are now, like, old? Like they've aged? Or are we getting new actors and it's like a sequel, does it take place in 1985 or does it take place in 2021?
Or... is it a new cast and, like, it just features the pirate ship or something? I don't know. Like the treasure again?
Yeah. I have to say, unlike I think we need to get Encyclopedia Brown because he's a huge Goonies fan. He's got the Goonies tattoo. He is our expert. He's our Goonies expert. We need to get in touch and find out what he thinks. I think I will go out on a limb and say that I think Goonies is in the category of movies that should be standalone, iconic movies with no sequel.
Right. I'm also along that, but I would add not watched again to the end of that list of things for Goonies.
What?
Because I don't like it.
Oh.
Just last night I was even talking, like, I was having a conversation with Simba's sister, and she's like, oh, remember how horrible of a time we had watching Goonies? And I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that again. Speaking of horrible times in front of movies, Suicide Squad, they're now not shying away from the fact that the first one wasn't good. James Gunn isn't shying away from it and admits that the first Suicide Squad had its problem. Although he came out saying that he really liked a bunch of the aesthetics that were laid down, the characters, which is why he's reusing them. So he came out and said, hey, look, The Suicide Squad is not a sequel or connected to Suicide Squad. Don't worry. But then in the same interview, he was quoted as saying, it's its own thing. It does not contradict the first movie. I don't think. It might in some small ways. I don't know. So maybe it is connected. He doesn't seem to care.
I feel like if I was a movie director, this would be the kind of dumb interview I would give. Penn, is your sequel, is your film a sequel to the original film that you did 100 years ago that nobody liked? And I'd be like, I don't know. I mean, it is, but not at all. Totally is.
You should totally go see it. Yeah.
Do you think it is? I don't know. What do you think?
But adding on to this, James Gunn also said the only way that he would do Suicide Squad is if the studio agreed everyone's expendable. He could kill whoever he wanted. So you should go into Suicide Squad completely expecting everyone to die. Now, with that in mind, John Cena's character now has a spinoff coming out to HBO. So, I mean...
I have to say, I think that's one of the things that's exciting about a movie where there's no major stars, right? And you're not 100% who's going to get killed off or who's not going to get killed off.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's exciting about those casts, when you have, an ensemble cast where you don't necessarily know. And I'm going to jump ahead of myself for a little bit. This week, I watched, for the first time in 40 years, the original Friday the 13th.
Whoa.
And it co-stars one very young-looking Kevin Bacon.
Wow.
Did you know he was in that?
I don't think I did.
Yeah, I forgot that he was in it. And I was like, oh, that's right, Kevin Bacon's in this movie. And then about like 20 minutes into it, he's one of the first guys to get killed. I'm like, why. Oh, that's right. He was in the movie before he was Kevin Bacon. He was still just a young punk, you know, a little eye candy for the ladies. And he gets killed off pretty quick. So, yeah, I think that if he can get the green light to kill off whoever he wants, that instantly makes the movie dramatically more appealing to me.
Right, right. But then you have one of the main characters signed on for a spinoff series.
Right, so right, like, all right.
All right, yeah. Wait a minute, hold on.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no good way to deal with that problem.
Right.
I think Suicide Squad for me will forever, and Drew brought this into sharp relief recently. It has the greatest distance between greatest separation from the quality of their posters to the quality of the movie. It has one of our favorite posters of all time, and so favorite that we have it framed. Drew has a copy framed in our office. It's the one where you have the cereal bowl. Do you remember this? And yeah. The letters spell out Suicide Squad. I mean, it's just it's an awesome poster. It makes you want to see the movie. It's a beautiful piece of art. It's effective, and it's so far. It's like in the world of posters, it's one of the best. And I guess you just wouldn't say that necessarily about the movie itself.
No, you wouldn't.
All right, the Animorphs movie. Were you familiar with this movie, the Animorphs movie?
I kind of knew it was coming, but it's one of those ridiculous premises that, yeah. Are you familiar with Animorphs?
Yeah.
It was like a kid's book?
Yeah. I totally am, but I did not know that there was a movie coming. So therefore, I was extra surprised to read the headline that the Animorphs movie has hit some rocks with the loss of Michael Grant and K.A. Applegate.
I think those are the writers behind the books, right?
I have no idea.
Well, yeah. Yeah, those are the writers behind the books. They've distanced themselves from the movie, which can only mean good things.
Right. Nothing says this movie's going to be great.
Nothing about this movie with an insane premise about people that turn into animals to solve crimes. Nothing can spell worse, yeah.
What was that Zootropolis? It's like a live action Zootropolis.
The movie theater?
No, not Zootropolis.
Oh.
Or Zootopia. What was the movie, the animated movie? It's like Zootopia.
Yeah.
Am I getting that right? Is it Zootopia?
Zootopia, yeah, the one with the rabbit and the...
Yeah. Sorry, not Zootropolis, everybody's favorite independently owned movie theater. Everybody's favorite single screen art house. Have you been following? They're doing this wicked cool art project down there, and I keep meaning to reach out to Chayla. I think I'm gonna reach out to her and see about contributing a piece of art. They're like, you sign up for like a certain window frame, and then you like do a piece of art, and it goes in that you know how the front of their building is all glass, like framed sort of panes, window panes, if you will. I want to get down. I haven't been down there to check it out, but I've seen some pictures and it looks pretty cool.
That's cool. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're always doing cool stuff down there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Totally. Zootropolis. Oh, man.
It's the place to be. Speaking of a movie that's kind of like the place to be. Awesome segue. Children of the Corn. Remember that movie from 1994? Right? They're currently in the process of filming this during quarantine. They're redoing Children of the Corn. I saw a screenshot of this, and it just looked like a bunch of Generation Z kids standing out in the cornfield. What I always found creepy about Children of Corn is how they look like a bunch of Amish kids, like standing out in a cornfield. So I don't know. The creepy factor is not quite there in the photo to me, but I don't know. I'm kind of surprised they're doing this because I feel like people either love or hate Children of the Corn. Like, it's kind of a classic. I don't know.
I don't think anybody cares. I don't think anybody – I don't even know who's involved with the remake. But
whatever.
I'm not impressed. I could care less. I can't even pretend. Like, with The Blade, I pretended to have an opinion about it. You know, and I sat there and espoused some, you know, balanced, thoughtful comment about it. Children of the Corn, nobody cares.
Yeah.
It's just no two ways about it.
Maybe after this remake they will.
Now, speaking of movies that nobody cares about. I don't know. I want to say this with love.
Okay.
All right. One of my favorite movies is I'm sorry, that's a stretch. It's not one of my favorite movies, but I will say one of the movies that I remember enjoying in the theaters the most was The Great Gatsby.
Okay, all
right. Right? Yeah, with Leonardo DiCaprio, and it was directed by Baz Luhrmann, I believe, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I believe so. And Amy and I, and Amy's sister Becky, we were all fortunate enough to attend the premiere, the actual premiere of this movie in New York City at Avery Lincoln Center or something like that. And we took a limo to it. We sat in the audience with Leonardo and Baz and Sacha Baron Cohen and all the stars of the movie. Now, they were down front with the rich people. We were in the way back with the plebs. But still, we all watched a movie together, and it was super cool.
You basically went on a double date with those guys.
Right, with Leo. Yep. Yeah. And Jay-Z was there. I think Beyonce was there, but nah, that's stretching it. But anyway, so I have respect for this director. I think he's a talented guy, and The Great Gatsby, love that movie, love that soundtrack, have nothing but good to say about that movie. The same director made a movie in 2008 called Australia. Did you ever see this movie?
No, but with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman, right?
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Hugh Jackman or was it Tom Cruise?
I thought Australia was with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, Australia came out in 2008, and it's a fine movie, right?
Yeah. It was at the time, it was like great.
Yeah. Now, the news here, and again, I want to say this with love, but it feels to me, just between us girls...
Yeah.
It feels to me like a stunt. And not in a good way, like jumping your moped over 14 school buses.
Oh, man, what a stunt.
That was great. Remember that time you and I jumped our mopeds over the school buses?
I know. You were like, let's do this. It'll be a stunt. And I was like, I'm in.
You didn't even, if I remember correctly, you didn't even blink. You didn't even flinch. You were like, let's go. What time?
Yeah. Yeah, as I got my buses.
You were like, the only real problem here is where are we going to get all the school buses?
Yeah. Well, I thought the real problem is, do we lay them side by side or like front to back, like 14 buses?
Right, but we decided front to back.
Right, because
longer. So, but we found the school buses because they parked them along Millport Road up here in Manheim Township, right along the airport. So remember, we dug under the fence and like hot-wired all those school buses. And
pulled them all out. No one noticed.
Right. It was the crime of the century. That was so much fun. That was really good.
It's too bad we didn't videotape it.
Right.
That would have been it.
That would have been it. All right. So we have this. I don't know. I have to say, I'm not as enthusiastic as you are. I remember Australia being okay.
I mean, look, I just remember the hype around it. I don't remember it being like actually that good.
I remember it was almost 3 hours, and I pretty much only watched it because I like Nicole Kidman so much. I could watch her do anything. And then when I was done watching it back in 2008, I was done watching it.
It didn't take you years?
And that was 12 years ago, and I've never once thought about this movie, let alone actually stepped out to rewatch it.
Oh, boy.
So now we have discussed on the show. So that's the setting. I'm setting the tone. Unrelated to that, we have on the show talked many times about Zack Snyder's Justice League and his campaign, or his fans' campaign, to release the Snyder Cut.
Right. Yeah.
Right. That's a big deal, and there's a huge movement. There's a whole thing, and it looks like it probably is going to happen, blah, 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 blah. Now this guy, the director, Baz Luhrmann. Sorry.
This guy. Who does he think he is?
Now this idiot, this yahoo comes walking along, and he says that he's going to release Australia as a limited series on Hulu. David, what are we doing here?
Why?
What are we doing here?
I care almost as little about this as I would have if he would have said this is a limited series coming to Quibi.
I just feel like this is an example. You know who this is? This is Elizabeth Banks. Somebody taking themselves, somebody good. I'm not trying to knock Elizabeth Banks. I'm just saying somebody who is taking themselves just a little bit too serious.
Well, do you think he's just kind of like, well, I haven't done anything in a while. Maybe I could do this.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, let's get some material. Like, okay, you haven't done anything in a while. Think of something and do it.
No. Penn, you got it all wrong. I know we're all at home. We got all this time on our hands. We could be creative and come up with new things. Come on, man. There's things out there. You just gotta rethink them. Do them again. Hey, if it worked once, it'll work twice.
There you go. You know? There you go. All right. I'm sorry to beat that into a dead horse. I just felt like this was annoying. It was annoying. I'm not going to go through the whole problem bit that I have. That, you know, I have a problem, blah, blah, blah. But I am going to just say, like, this I find – I'm sick of people, like, creating excuses for their own, like, thing. It's dumb.
Well, speaking of creating excuses, my excuse to report on this is because maybe he'll show up in a movie, but Oscar Isaac has been cast as Moon Knight for Marvel in their new series of shows where they're doing the origin stories on Disney Plus and then moving them into the movies.
Yeah.
So Oscar Isaac is Moon Knight. I'm totally on board with that. I mean, I don't know that he can do any wrong at this point.
Oscar Isaac is amazing. He's the kind, and I have to admit what kind of actor he is for me. He's the kind of person, when I think about my favorite actors, I never remember him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When somebody says, like, name your 10 favorite actors, I would never remember to think to include Oscar Isaac. But every time a movie comes along and he's in it, I'm like, oh, he's awesome. Right. I get so excited. Like, oh, yeah. I'm so psyched to see him.
Even in those horrible movies, what are they called? Star Wars. He's great.
Now wait a minute. Let's just pause. Can we take a breath? Can we point something out here?
Oh. Yeah.
Oscar Isaac is also the main character or one of the main characters in Dune.
I know. Well,
so you better slow your roll there.
I said I love him. I said I love him.
Yeah, but if you love Dune and then you love Oscar Isaac, then you're going to have to admit
I have to love
that
Star
he was
Wars?
In a movie that was pretty good.
Yeah, Ex Machina.
The voice of Gomez Adams in the Adams Family, currently playing at Penn Cinema.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he was in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Do you know what his character's name was in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse?
He was in that movie?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't realize. No, wait. Was he the Scorpion or something? No, he wasn't the Scorpion. Who was he?
You ready? You ready?
Yeah.
His character was interesting person number one.
I remember because there was three interesting people.
Right.
And he was the first one.
Right. He was the first guy on there. He was also in Sucker Punch.
Wow.
He was great in Sucker Punch. He was in Drive. He was in Bourne Legacy. I mean, this guy, you're absolutely right. Like, we got sidetracked teasing you about Star Wars, but you're absolutely right. He can do no wrong. And I think this is really exciting. I would love for a Moon Knight movie to make it to get picked up by Marvel and become a thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're making a show, so maybe he doesn't have a Moon Knight movie, but he could be Moon Knight in an Avengers movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and then, you know, maybe he gets his own movie.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
Yeah, down the line.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to trailers. That's all the news we got for today. People, stop haggling us. You know? Like, come on. You can only handle so much news in one day.
Right.
Let's go on to trailers, because there's almost no trailers this week. And one of them, you specifically said, don't watch it. I'll cover it.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe we should have you watch it. So maybe our friends who are listening should watch it. The movie is Stardust, which is a new movie, obviously, about the life of David Bowie. It comes out apparently, supposedly, this year. And it stars a person I've never heard of, who I'm sure is fine, but Johnny Flynn stars as David Bowie.
Oh.
Do you know Johnny Flynn?
No.
Yeah, me neither. Okay. And I watched this movie, and, oh, man, I hate it when I say stupid stuff, but I'm going to say it anyway. Without having seen this movie or knowing anything about this movie, it makes me feel like somebody cashed in on the Elton John on Rocket Man. Like, this movie looks exactly like Rocket Man, except it's about David Bowie instead of Elton John. Like, it does not look creative to me. It does not look fresh. It does not, honestly, and I love David Bowie. This movie does not look interesting to me.
Really? Well, let me just say this about Johnny Flynn.
Wait, are you going to say this about that?
Well, as our good friend of the show,
Hal Lord.
Hal Lord would say, let me tell you this about that. Johnny Flynn is awesome. And I'm going to say that from one movie that I've seen him in, and I wouldn't have known him from Adam, but he was in Emma. And he was he was Mr. Knightley in Emma.
Oh.
And that movie is so good. I love that movie so much. I might even watch that today. I'm like, I forgot. Such a good movie.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's also a musician, so whatever, but like, he can act. So, I mean, maybe you're being a little harsh.
I don't think so. Movie. And let me tell you why.
Why?
Okay. Now, David.
Hello. I'm here.
Yeah, hello. Are you here?
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I know that you're not professionally anyway, a actual filmmaker.
Well, I think that's a little much of a presumption for you to put
out
there.
Is that a little harsh?
Yeah. I mean, you don't know me. You just called me now.
You don't know me. All right. Let's say that you're making a movie about a famous musician.
Okay.
Somebody whose life and impact was almost entirely related to their music.
Okay.
Not that they weren't also a talented artist or, you know, et cetera, but really, when you think of this person, you think of their music and their contributions, profound contributions to music. Now, David, I ask you this. I present for your consideration. If you were in charge of making a movie about David Bowie, would you A, make the movie without the rights to use any of his music, or B, make the movie and be able to include his music in the movie?
Ooh. This is a tough one.
This is a toughie. The people who made this movie do not have permission from David Bowie's estate to use any of his music in the film. So you're going to watch a movie about David Bowie that's called Stardust, and you are not going to have any of the guy's music playing in this movie.
Wow. It, you know, like, you look at the Queen movie, and, like, that was 90% right. of the movie was, like, how good it was that they had the music in it and everything. How can they make this movie without his music?
Same thing with Rocket Man, but Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, was a great example of, and I consider myself, I'm into music, especially rock and roll. I consider myself a fan, and I thought I knew Queen.
Wait, you're a fan of rock and roll? Hold on, let me write this down.
Right. Remember that for later. And I watched that movie, and I came away from that movie blown away at the incredible, you know, you forget so many of these songs, and you forget their legacy, and the movie, you know, really opened up Queen to a whole new generation of fans and did so much for them. So my first problem with this movie is the inability to use, I mean, that's my first, and after that problem, I don't have any other interest in this movie. But I will also I will also just comment that the budget for this movie was a cool $5 million.
Ooh, just a slick, right under the table, here's $5 million.
So as I said in the show notes, don't bother with this trailer. Don't call me and ask me if I'm going to play the Stardust movie, because I'm going to do you a favor and not play it.
Oh, for me? Thank you.
That's what I'm willing to do for you.
Well, our other trailer this week is a teaser for Halloween Kills coming out next year.
Yeah, and October 15th, 2021.
Yeah. I think, one, I'm glad they're holding it because it's a perfect movie for Halloween. Why release it, like, in summer or spring or whatever, like, hold it for its namesake for October. That just makes so much sense. So I like that they're doing that, but they apparently filmed a decent amount of it because the trailer has a lot of, or the teaser has a lot of clips in it, like a lot more than you would expect.
I didn't follow. What were you saying about the spring? Are you being sarcastic?
No, I think it's good that they're holding the movie. Like, because what I'm saying is it looks like they filmed a lot of it, and I'm glad they're not like, oh, this is coming out in June or whatever. Like, it should come out in Halloween. Right?
What? Why wouldn't it come out on Halloween?
Well, that's what I'm
saying. You sound like you're pleasantly surprised.
I am, because
guess what, guys? This Halloween movie, they're going to release it in October.
It's not a Christmas movie. Well, you know, this day and age, they're like, oh, our movie's done. We got to get it out. Lickety spit, you know? Like, what? Come on, right?
All right.
I mean, because horror movies come out in like February now.
I think we're glossing over something. Before you saw this teaser trailer, did you know that there was a Halloween sequel coming?
Yeah, and you know why?
Because we talked about it on the show?
Yeah.
I was just guessing. I didn't know we talked about it on the show.
I mean, it was a throwaway thing, but yeah.
I saw the trailer and I was like, oh, that's awesome. They're doing a sequel.
If only there was a podcast you could listen to where they cover this kind of stuff.
Where I could like keep up to date on what's going on in the world. If only, or like if, for example, like, you know, if my whole business depended on knowing about the movie,
right,
like,
exactly.
I'd probably pay attention better.
Yeah, maybe. No guarantees.
Who knows? We might never know. Anyway, I don't know about you, but I thought, so the movie is called Halloween Kills. Jamie Lee Curtis reprises her role. This is a direct sequel to the 2018 one. And she has been quoted in the press as saying, that, not that it was designed this way, but that it certainly, I think the word that she used was dovetails, that it, you know, sort of speaks to the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, she's obviously promoting a film, but she's also a very, you know, astute person. She's a smart person. And I think this movie will be timely. And I don't know. I thought, I want to ask you what you thought. I thought the trailer looked good. It made me excited to see this movie. I know it's a year away. But yeah, I think it looked cool. I think it was a cool trailer. If you're into horror movies, check out the Halloween Kills teaser trailer.
Yeah, yes? It's a good trailer. A good teaser. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully you're right. Hopefully they're almost done with it. They wrap it in, you know, the next few months and let it sit on the shelves till October and off we go.
Boom. Boom, boom, boom. Well, are you ready to move on to our movie review this week?
Speaking of donuts.
Speaking of donuts. Penn, I have never walked out of the theater more hungry than after watching Donut King. The whole time I'm like, why are there not donuts here right now?
Right.
I want a donut. I need a donut. I did not go get a donut, but I wanted one.
I almost left, and I was watching mine with a cup of coffee. Oh. And I almost left to go find myself some kind of donut.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I liked this movie. Did you like it?
I loved it. The movie did no business at all. I don't think anybody – literally, I worked Saturday open to close, which means I was in the building for all the sets, and Donut King was what we call a no-show for the day, wow. The whole day. So it did not do well commercially at all. And I will admit, this movie was an example – you know, you talk about a movie like 1917.
Yeah.
You know, and people ask you about it and you're like, you tell them like, listen, I'm not just trying to like promote my theater. 1917 needs to be seen in a movie theater, right? You look at a movie like Donut King and I tell you, I strongly recommend the movie. I don't know when it's available or if it's already available at home or not, but this was a movie that I would have enjoyed every bit as much on a TV as I did in the theater.
Yeah. I'll agree with you with that.
I mean, I don't mean that to come off as a bad thing. I'm just saying, yeah. It, you know.
It had nothing that needed to be seen in a theater.
Right.
Like it was, right. It was, you could have seen this as a special on History Channel or whatever, and it the same effect.
Right. Really but what a story. I mean, yeah. Talk about, first of all, a life well lived, and second of all, I don't know how to, up and down, rags to riches to rags, and.
I noticed that they didn't – okay, so for those who didn't see, it's the story of a gentleman, a Cambodian refugee, came to America, discovered like people like donuts, jumped on the business, and then with his success, he sponsored more Cambodians to come to America and then sponsored them to open their own donut shops, thus resulting in, I think, like 68 or 88 donut shops in California. And he was living the high, you know, but these people, he gave these people the chance to have their own business that he invested in and took profit from for basically doing nothing. So he, you know, they were bringing in tons of money, developed a gambling problem, lost it all. The bright side of him losing it all is when he lost it, all these families didn't lose their business. He was the one who lost out. While these other people gained more independence by not having to pay him monthly for what they had. I did notice what I was going to, the reason I said that is I did notice that once he had his downfall, I thought it was really cool how they switched and transitioned into following the second and third generations of these donut shops that he helped start. But I also took note that they did not focus on him now, like where he is now, which leads me to believe I think that he's still in Cambodia, so that he's still not very successful or not, hasn't really bounced back from where he was. Mm. You know,
he's pretty elderly now, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, they kind of, you know, his wife leaves him. He doesn't have any money. He's back in Cambodia. I kind of got the gist that like he never really got back to the success that he had or or anything quite close to it. And instead of humiliating him, they just focused on like the legacy that he left behind.
Right.
And brought him to America and to talk about that stuff. So
what an incredible story. So interesting.
Yeah, it really was. And the donuts looked amazingly delicious. Like, had we not been in this thing, I would have been like, Penn, you need to market this with all the donut shops around, kind of like throw donut parties, get people out in droves. But
you know where I like to get my donuts. Do you know this?
Do-si-do, right?
Do-si-do, right, yeah. Of course. Do-si-do. So I'm going to tell you a true story.
Okay.
The other day, I'm up on the north side of Lititz for a morning meeting, late morning. So on my way back, I call up to Do-si-do and tell them, you know, what I want for lunch. And because I'm figuring I'm going to swing by Do-si-do on my way back to the theater. So I swing by Do-si-do and go up to the window. And of course, I already paid. I paid on the phone when I ordered my lunch. And they hand me my lunch and 6 Long Johns.
Whoa.
Fresh Achenbach's peanut butter Long Johns.
Whoa. So they get their donuts from Achenbach's.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they get their donuts from Achenbach's, and it was just the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Anytime that you can order a wrap or like a burrito or something like that,
yeah,
and then walk away with 6 Long Johns, that's a good lunch.
Now, speaking of donuts, this new donut review podcast, have you been to Beiler's?
No.
Oh. So they started off in the market in Philly. And they now have a shop on Harrisburg Pike near the college, near F&M.
Huh.
Do you know where like Cork and Cap is? Is it Cork and Cap? No, like John J. Jeffries.
Yeah, right, yeah, there. Yeah.
That little strip with the Mean Cup and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it's right next to Mean Cup.
Yeah. Their donuts are like Achenbach's are like cake. Like cake donuts.
Right.
Like, right? These are much lighter, fluffier donuts. And anyway, now I want donuts again. And it's Sunday and all these places are closed. So thanks.
I feel like, yeah.
What are you doing to me, man? Come on.
All right. So is that our review?
Yeah.
Are we done?
If you like documentaries, go watch Donut King.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right, let's move on to listener notes, questions, answers, comments, and apparently reviews. Encyclopedia Brown wrote in this week, the only little bit tidbit we got. He says, a little review on Come Play, which I don't know if the commercials I'm seeing are to believe, but apparently is like the scary movie of the century or something. It's supposed to be really good. Anyway.
Let me back up. I'll just interject.
Yeah.
It's the number one movie in America right now.
Okay, wow.
Which, I mean, we know the state of the domestic box office, do we not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
It's in the worst movie year of all time. It's number one.
What? So here's what he had to say. He said, Come Play. If you understand autism, you'll see this movie differently than you would if you didn't know anything about it. Parts that would normally bother me made sense knowing why it was happening. It also helps you understand Larry. I guess it's the kid. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's the creepy thing, I think, maybe. It was creepy and intense from start to finish. Even the ending was good, and I was expecting that to be its downfall. It's definitely a horror film meant for theaters. From the surround sound and the chair vibration, it definitely gave me goosebumps. So there you go. Stamp of approval from Encyclopedia Brown. I mean, having not seen it, I don't understand the autism thing. I kind of wish he would have gone into it a little bit more. I think that's interesting.
I definitely want to see this movie, and I hope he's referring when he says the surround sound and the chair vibration. I assume he's talking about like there must be some loud points where you feel the sound. Because if he like snuck in his own vibrating recliner chair, I mean, that's not cool. That's not kosher.
How did he get it in?
Like every theater in the country, we have a sign in our lobby. And it says, no outside food, no outside drink, and no outside recliners.
The big three.
That's standard.
Right.
Right? I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but I'm just saying, like, we have good recliners. You don't need to bring in your own vibration recliner.
Seriously. We're just going to plug it in. Come on.
Come on.
All right. Well, let's move on.
I will say, reading what he said about this does make me want to see this movie. So yeah. I will probably catch it in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I will not because I don't do the scares. So
right.
Yeah.
I'll let you know. Okay. I'll call you in the middle of the night and scream into the phone. Again.
All right. Well, what have you been reading? What have you been watching? What have you been doing outside of movies this week?
Well, I told you about Friday the 13th.
Yeah, yeah.
I also started another show. And the show that I started is called Absentia. You've seen the ads for this on TV?
No.
It's like, I forget if it's Prime or Netflix or something. It's one of those. And it's like, I am officially, I'm going to take this moment during the Penn Central podcast to declare I am officially totally overwhelmed. I don't know what to watch. I'm supposed to be watching The Mandalorian. I'm supposed to be, Amy and I started, we both started Young Pope, but I haven't really stuck with it. I started Absentia, which was great for like 3, maybe 4 episodes. But then it's just like you find yourself like watching the beginning and then fast forwarding to the end of the episode, watching the last 5 minutes of the episode, and then the beginning of the next episode. And it's just like these shows just kind of go on and on and on. And I'm just completely overwhelmed. Like I get on the menu and I feel like Amy says, like, what are you watching? And I'm like, I'm not watching anything. I'm just scrolling through menus.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been scrolling through the menu for 20 minutes.
Did you finish The Boys?
What?
Did you finish The Boys? Didn't you start watching that?
Yeah. Okay. No, I didn't finish it yet, but I have been continuing to enjoy The Boys. Yeah.
Just kidding. So that's, yeah, I kind of get that too, because so then sometimes I tune into these things that we're all supposed to be watching, and I don't know if it's the hype train or what, and I'm just kind of like, everyone says I should be so entertained by this, but maybe I'm expecting too much and I'm not.
Oh, you know what else I did we talk about last week? I forget if I – oh, I watched it this week, so I watched it since we spoke.
Okay.
I watched The Big Chill.
Oh, how's that?
This is one of my favorite movies. This has, I argue, the best soundtrack of all time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Great Motown. It's like the perfect Motown playlist. And The Big Chill, it's just such a beautiful movie about friendship and about humanity and about struggles and mostly just about friendship. But, oh, man, it just has a special place in my heart. So I watched The Big Chill as well. I highly recommend that one.
Interesting. I don't think I've watched it.
Yeah, you should watch it. It doesn't – it's another one of these movies. It doesn't have to be seen at the theater. There's nothing in it that makes it – the only thing that's great about watching it in the theater is that, first of all, you get that soundtrack. And second of all, you just give it that nice dark room, you know, with the attention that it deserves.
Right. Right. Well, for me this week, I started watching The Mandalorian. Penn, we got a problem.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God.
I want to love this show so much. I love all the still images of it. Right? I love the premise and everything. But I watch it, and I'm like, wait a sec. Like, this acting is bad, right? Like, I'm not the only one who's... Like, this is not good... Like, this is like stage acting. You guys get that? And then people are like, "Did you see it? It's so amazing!" And I'm like, "I mean, I saw it, but I don't know, Penn. I don't know."
Did you like stay up to watch it when it broke at 12:01 a.m.?
No, I'm not that dedicated.
Maybe you would have enjoyed it more if you were that like sleep deprived.
Maybe.
It's kind of like drinking. You know, if you're up all night and you watch it and you're like delirious on no sleep, you know, it's like watching it drunk. You get a little no sleep buzz going. Yeah. And
yeah. I've also been rereading The Wizard's First Rule, which is part of the Sword of Truth series by Terry Goodkind, who recently passed away this year. But I love this series so much, and I'm so excited to read it again. I've just been like, it's all I can do to get back to this book.
Yeah.
And then I watched an interesting movie that had me cracking up last night. Cracking up. Now, I know some people would watch it and be like, oh, I don't get the humor or anything. It's dark. It's very British, dry. Like, you have to listen to their quips, and because they talk really fast, and you're like, oh, wait. Like, he dropped a comment there that no one else in the room in this got, but, like, it was a joke against the guy who said something two scenes ago. And that's Death of Stalin.
Mm.
And it's about the transition of power when Stalin passed. And it's unapologetically British to the point where, I mean, they're all Russians, but not a single person in the entire movie pretends to be Russian. They just speak their normal British accents.
I love that. I love when a movie does that, because the movie's like, hey, listen, you know, you gotta play along here. They don't even bother.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're just,
I
like,
dig it.
Whatever. They got that. Americans, they got British people, like right. Steve Buscemi's in it, Jeffrey Tambor.
You be you.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a hoot. So I recommend if you like dark humor, for sure.
You know who the female lead is in that? Do you recognize what else she was in?
No.
I don't know how to say her name, so I'm not even going to try, but she's the love interest from Quantum of Solace.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Olga Kurlenko or something like that. And she was, I mean, she's been in a bunch of things, but I recognized her when she was in Quantum of Solace.
Wait. Olga, there's not really, what female lead?
Maria Venimova Yudina.
I don't think you're looking at the right movie. Death of Stalin came out in 2018.
Right. Comedy, drama, history, rated R, 1 hour, 47 minutes.
Oh, the piano player.
Oh.
She's not in it that much.
I don't think you're looking at the right movie.
I don't think you, have you even looked at a movie before?
Do you know what Marley told me when she was just a tiny little girl and we told her we were going to build a movie theater?
I can't wait. What?
She was like 8, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe she might have even been younger, because I think she was 8 when the theater opened, something like that, maybe 7, but I think she was like 6. And we were talking about building a movie theater, and we were in the kitchen, and we had a big, like one of those vision boards with all these logos, trying to pick what would become the Penn Cinema logo. And we were kind of having a family conversation about movie theaters and building a movie theater. And I said something like, you know, honey, are you excited we're going to build a movie theater? And she goes, Dad, I'm not really much of a movie girl. I was like, girl, you're 6 years old. You don't know what you are. You're whatever kind of girl your dad takes you to. Like, I just took you to E-Town to see Madagascar. You know.
Does she still stick by that? Does she ever bring that up again, Dad?
No, really, no. She's really a good movie watcher. She loves movies.
Oh, that's great. Hey, what are we going to do next week?
I don't know. What do you want to do? Penn Cinema is bringing back Raiders of the Lost Ark. We're also bringing back Jurassic Park. And to celebrate Veterans Day, we're bringing back 1917, and we're going to play it in IMAX. Mm-hmm. But the big new movie starring Kevin Costner is the revenge thriller Let 'Em Go. So should we stick with the new movies and watch Let 'Em Go, or is that too scary for you?
It's not a scary. It's not a scary. It's too scary. Sure, let's do Let 'Em Go then.
All right, new that movie. Works.
Yeah. Although I definitely recommend, if you haven't seen 1917, or if you want to see it like really amazingly, go to IMAX. Oh, so good.
I'm excited. This is a good example of a movie I'm booking partly just because I want to see it again.
Yeah, I've been...
But all tickets for all shows on Monday, Veterans Day, which I believe is November 9th, all tickets for all shows, including IMAX, are $5.
Wow.
If you have off of work on Monday, next Monday, November 9th, then you can come in and see any movie, including IMAX, for $5. That's and awesome. You'll see your favorite Penn Cinema podcast host in the lobby. So what's up?
Whoa! I'm not going to be there.
Like I said.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us this episode. Hey, if you want to support the show, what's the number one way you can do that?
Send Penn Ketchum a check.
Yeah.
A big one.
A big amount of money, I'd say. Right. And then just memo it for the podcast.
Right. Yeah. And we will make sure it gets to the right place.
It'll get there. Yeah.
But if you're not inclined to write a check, you could always just tell a friend about the podcast. And it is a remarkable to me and, frankly, a little bit disturbing how many people, like, I'll be, like, talking, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember you talked about that on the podcast. I'm like, what? Why are you... Huh? Why are you listening to the podcast?
You know the best way to tell a friend is it's kind of been rainy lately, right?
Right.
Put on your best duster jacket, get a waterproof Bluetooth speaker, and just stand outside of their house holding it up in the rain. Just blast it and just be like, "This you could have this on your own, but here I am."
Yeah. You could say anything then.
Yeah. Yep. Also, if you want to be a part of the show, send us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. We'll read it on the show. We'll read it in our own personal lives and cry. You know, it's pretty emotional whenever we get an email. So
we're invested. Yeah. That's all. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. We're invested. We care. I'm sorry that we care.
There's nothing unmanly about tears. Okay. Right, that's what I tell everyone while I'm crying. All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Ted Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.